All righty. Who needs a book? Anybody? I know Antoine does. I know if you've been in class for a while, you have your own book. If you didn't bring that and need to look on one, if I have enough, I'll let you look on one. You can keep that. You come, that's yours. Anything else? Did you? I gave you one, right? You just want to look at it? Okay, that's fine. Just turn. I have two others. If anybody needs to look on anything, anybody need a book to look on? Got one? You going to be in here a little bit, maybe? Okay. Amen. We good? Anyone? All right. We are looking at that section on meditation, and that will be on page, is it 73? Amen. Yep, 73. So what we're looking at in this book, so this book is about learning to study the Bible for yourself. And I'm glad that you come. I'm glad we were able to come to Sunday school, able to come to church Sunday night, you know, with kind of the focal point there, a little different, more topical in a sense. And Wednesday night, we try to focus on just kind of a midweek service type of thing and encourage some people throughout their week, give some doctrine there, as well as just a time of prayer. And every service is just a little bit different. And it's good to have somebody, you know, teach and preach and you can sit under and gain some things from. But if all you ever do is just come to church and you never take an interest in studying the Bible for yourself, you're never really going to grow a whole lot. And it's hard to understand why that is. But we were at the youth rally on Friday night, and I appreciate all your all support for that. It was great. It was a good youth rally. And it was a blessing. But I believe that, I think it was Hebrews was where they were at. But there, you know, in the quizzing side for the juniors and seniors, they give two chapters out to study for the month, and then they come together and then they quiz them over that. And I didn't study for that. I don't think any of us adults probably did, unless we were helping our young people. And the majority of the questions that were asked, I knew the answer to. Right? And I don't say that to say, hey, look at me. I'm just saying, if you're there and you didn't know the answer to any of them, then that's a problem, right? Because it shows that you're not studying like you need to. You're not learning the Bible, right? When you talk to somebody and someone says, well, the Bible says, you ought to be able to know, no, it doesn't. Or I believe you're right, yes, it does, right? Why? Because we're reading our Bibles, we're studying our Bibles, we're taking interest in our Bibles, and we need to know, is there any other book as important on earth for us to know than the Bible? No. This Bible contains everything that pertains to life and godliness. How are we going to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good if we don't know the Bible? Right? And how are we, the Bible says, it's commanded multiple times in scriptures, be not deceived. How are you going to keep from being deceived by your own self, by others, in life in general? How are you going to be able to continually do right if you don't even know the truth of the Word of God? Right. It's impossible. It's impossible. So, well, you're a pastor. I did not set out to be a pastor. No, I set out to be an aircraft mechanic. I was doing just fine. I could go back to that at any point. Be fine with me. Amen. God called me to do this. And I believe it was just simply because I took an interest in the Word of God and started growing. And then at some point, God said, tag, you're it. And so I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Here I am. So, not complaining, I'm just saying, this isn't an occupation, it's a life, right? And every one of us should be in that position where we can take the Word of God and we can help lead others in it. Not just for salvation, but yes, for salvation, but in everything. Amen. And that's why you're in class today. I'm glad you're here. Amen. And so there's some things, though, some prerequisites. There's some things that the Bible says. If you're going to be a Bible student, if you're going to be able to get something out of the Bible, you're going to have to come to it in a right way. And that's kind of the section we're in right now. And so we've already looked at the reasons why you should want to know and why you should want to study your Bible. And then this section, which started on page number 61, you must meet the spiritual requirements for Bible study. In other words, there's a passage in the Bible that talks about God not casting his pearls before swine. In other words, if you don't know what to do with the gems of this book, God's not going to give you those gems, right? A pig, if you threw some pearls down in his pen, he's not going to make a necklace out of it and wear it and pretty himself up. He ain't going to know what to do with those. Amen? And so he would just root them and bury them in the mud and never benefit from that. So if you don't come to this book with the right attitude and heart and mindset, then God's not going to open up the truths of this book to you. Remember, this is a spiritually discerned book. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, that these things are spiritually discerned. The natural man, the Bible says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And so in our natural state, with your own earthly wisdom, with your own natural abilities, if you approach God's book, you will never understand this book like God wants you to understand it. Sure, you'll gain a couple principles and you'll be able to do some things as far as following the Word of God in general like the world can, but not as a Christian. Christians, God gives by the Holy Spirit truth to, which is supernatural truth, which will enable you to live in a supernatural way on earth that no other mere mortal can live. Hallelujah. That's what's in this book. This book will make you the best parent on earth. Let me rephrase that. This book will make you the best parent in heaven, in heavenly places. This book will make you the best spouse. Amen? This book will make you the best friend. God knows we need some good friends in the day that we live. Amen? This book will make you a church member that exceeds anything on this planet. Supernatural strength and power is available. You will be a problem solver like none other, because you have the truth of the Word of God. And God knows the answer to every problem, including those math problems that everybody loves that topic. He knows those answers too. Amen? God is amazing. There's nothing that He doesn't know, and He wants to share that info with us if we come to Him with the right mindset and with a heart willing to obey. Is that a blessing? All right, meditation. What part does meditation, let me ask you this real quick. What does it mean to meditate on the Word of God? Yes. Think on it. Okay. Yes, Hannah. Amen, amen. And I've heard the analogy like a cow chewing on its cud, right? It's kind of chewing that over and over. You know, a cow has different stomachs, and it'll put it in that first stomach and then bring it back up and chew on it some more and back. That just kind of sounds gross, but that's a really neat analogy. And every time he does that, he's getting more and more out of that food. But that's a really good analogy for how we deal with the Word of God. We chew on it some, we walk away from a little bit, come back, chew on it some more, walk away from a little bit, come back. And that here a little, there a little, as the Bible talks about, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's kind of how we approach the Word of God. It's not a once and done thing. People that say, I went to Bible college, I'm done studying the Bible. You're crazy. Amen. All college, I was taught this when I went through aviation school and all that, learning some things there. I was taught that to get my license to work on aircraft, that all I'm getting with all that training, and it was 8 hours a day for 14 months, 8 hours a day to work on airplanes. And all they told us was, everything you're learning here, all this, all you're getting from being here is a license to learn. They drilled that in us. And we had to go through continual training on and on and on and on and on and on and on all the time, which if you're flying in an airplane, you're probably happy for that. That people working on them actually are... didn't just do, oh, I got my license, I don't have to get trained anymore. No, I was being trained all the time. And so if it's important for that, how much more for our Christian life? And I've heard people talk about, and I'm glad we had a group go down to the Loving and Leading Conference down in Ohio. It trained Sunday school teachers and leaders in churches and stuff. They do a great job down there in Milford. And but the reality is, How much training do our Sunday school teachers get? How much training do our people in ministry get? How much effort do we really put there, right? I know they were getting ready to go and all that, and we've done things differently and all that, but just, I think it was Emily said, the church paying for the hotel? It's like, yeah, covering your expenses for going, it's important, right? And we should. We should invest in these things. Invest in education, right? Because how are we gonna pour into others if we're not growing, right? And so meditating is about chewing on the word. It's about thinking on it. Amen. Anybody else have a thought about meditation? All right, let's go ahead and jump right on into it. There on number 8, there on your page 73. It actually lists the scriptures there, so we'll just, the psalm we're going to actually turn to because I want to read a few more verses. But who wants to read that? Joshua 1:8. That's that first verse there. Sharon, go ahead. You got it? You do? All right. Yeah, read it out loud.
It's one of my favorite verses.
Amen.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Amen. I love the Word of God because what the Bible does is it gives us how things work in life. And like it'll say stuff like, if you'll do this, God will do this. And God is not a liar. He's a man of his word. Amen? And so we can trust him in these things. So in this text, it says, this book of the law, right? And the Tanakh, the first five books of the Bible, that's kind of what they're dealing with, there, more the law of Moses in that time. But we know by extension, even more than that, there was other things by Joshua starting to be written. The prophets were active, things of that sort. But we know this is talking about the very word of God, right? The laws, the precepts, the very word of God. And it says that this book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, right? So if we're going to take the advice of Hannah there, that we are going to just think on that, and Kyle, we're going to think on that, we're going to chew on it, we're going to roll it over more and more, try to exact the sense of a passage. So if we look at this and we're going to meditate upon this passage, if it says that this book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, it doesn't say out of thy mind there, right? God is saying to Joshua that this book is to be in your where? Your mouth. Now the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if the Bible's going to be in your mouth, where does it also have to be? In your heart, right? So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So some people say, you know, I said that, I really didn't mean that. Normally, we do say what we think. Now, every once in a while, there's like the old Freudian, whatever that word is. Yeah, slip, where you actually mispronounce something and something came out and truly you did not mean to say that. That is true. Sometimes that does happen. But normally when we say something, we may not like that we said it. It might come across wrong. It might, you know, once it's out, you might be thinking, man, I wish I wouldn't have let that one out. But at the end of the day, really what's in our heart ultimately is what we say. That's what we speak, right? And so we think typically, even if it's real quick, before we speak. And sometimes we don't think long enough before we speak. But if we're going to have the law in our mouth, then it needs to be in our heart. And how do we get it in our heart? How do we get the Bible in our heart?
You study the word.
You study it.
You memorize,
you read, you meditate. How can we even meditate? We can only meditate if we have it. Sometimes, and he'll give some suggestions here, like writing the verse on a card. Like, that's good, keep it with you. You've heard me say a lot, I very rarely seek to memorize any scripture. I just study it and then it sticks, right? And what I'm really saying is, I'm meditating on it and it sticks, right? And so if you're constantly meditating on something, you don't even have to try to memorize it. You're going to memorize it. Does that make sense? Yes.
For me, I think it helps when you study to, when you're studying, you have a visualization of what you're studying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you're walking right beside Jesus.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. You're taking his steps and you're thinking.
So what she's talking about is, and this is a key to study, is, you know, sometimes people read the Bible and they'll read, maybe we'll say all about the creation with Adam and Eve. Some people, when they read that story, they almost look at it like it's almost like fiction. Like, oh yeah, that happened one time ago, and they don't really count it as truth. but we know it is true. So some people look at it as truth, but they look at it from a really high level where they're just looking down at it. And then other people, when they study, they're right there in the story. Does that make sense? And I would encourage you to study that way. Get right in there. Mystery show. He's like a detective. He's a lawyer, whatever. Man, what's that name of that? Like, no. You know what I'm talking about? And then, like, when he's going through it, like, he puts himself, he's right there in the scene asking questions and talking while it's going on, but he wasn't there, but he is there. I don't know. I can't explain. Anyway, we should get that way in the Bible, right? Where you are putting yourself in the garden with them. And while you're studying that, you're asking questions and you're seeking the word for that answer. You're there, right? And if you can do that, you get a visualization. Because once we've been somewhere, you don't forget it. It's now imagery, right? And some people say, oh, you have a photographic memory. Well, when I do recall things, I do see like pages in a book, or I see words, or I'll see an event. But I think really we should all try to do that, because you're going to remember things better if you can do that, right? Not that everybody's wired the same. You might not be able to do that, but you could try, right? And that's meditating. It's where you're going over and over, you're looking at every aspect of it, and you're putting yourself there, you're seeing how it applies, you're getting that involved and that interested in what you're looking at. All right, and so it says, it shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. How long, how often?
Day and night.
Day and night. Let me ask you a question. Throughout your day, what do you typically think about? Yes.
You know what repeatedly comes to my mind are verses I'm trying to remember, but
Amen.
Mostly songs. If you read the songs in the book, there are messages in them.
There is.
The words
song.
Are.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, yeah. Right. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, it says in Ephesians. So that is really good. And a lot of times to memorize, you know, you can put verses to music, and that's a great way to do it, right? But what do you think on all day? Do you know that if you have the TV running in the background, it's controlling what you're thinking about? Do you know that if you have music running in the background, and some of that stuff they call Christian really isn't, right? Let's just be honest. Amen. But you know, music in the background, and I'm motivated. I ran today. I'd run to the store real quick this morning and all that. And on the way, I mean, I left everything off, and I just pray and talking to God, you know, to and from, thinking about the message for the morning, and on. I love that, right? And some people say, "Oh, I can't have silence. I need something." Well, if I'm praying, it ain't silent. If I'm thinking about Bible, it's not silent. I mean, it might be technically, right? But it's not, man. My head is like ready to explode with voice, amen, with noise, right? And it's good. So what do you think about? I wonder if we could chart out a 24-hour chart and we could just record for one day. What did I think about all day? Wouldn't that be interesting? If God could just print you off a list and say, this last week, 168 hours, this is what you thought about.
Just one day would be interesting.
I know. 24-hour listing. But the Bible says, because there's going to be some promises given here. And it says, our part is what? Make sure that law doesn't depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it, the word of God, how often?
Day
and night. And it says, now here comes, that's our part. Here comes God's part. It says, meditate therein a day and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Who here wants to be prosperous and have good success? Man, me. I don't want the things I do to crumble and fall to the ground and be. I want them to be prosperous. I want them to accomplish something. I want to be successful in a right way, right? Well, this says how I can do that. By the way, turn over to Psalm 1. This is not the only place this is given. You got it? Let's do Psalm 1, 1 through 3.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Is that a promise?
Amen, yes.
Man, I have this passage memorized really well because I'm there a lot, right? Because I am in positions in my life that I have to be successful. I have to be. For my kids' sake, I have 8 kids. They need a successful father. Pastor of a church. Our church needs a successful pastor. And when I say success, I'm not just talking monetarily, I'm talking about in general. General success. Being able to accomplish what God has called me, by extension, us to do. Right? Everything I put my hand to, I don't want it to be a waste of time. My time is too valuable. I have too much going on. I need to be successful. Okay, if that be the case, God tells me how I can be successful, right? Well, let's just look at it again. Chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed, that's good, that's happy. Happy, and by the way, blessed would be successful, really. If you're blessed, it's a positive thing. Blessed is the man. That man there is a general term for all of us, men and women. There's only 2 genders, by the way, in case you're confused. Just in case you're confused. If you are, just let me know after. We'll talk about it. Amen. In the beginning, God made them male and female. There you go. Anyway, so blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where might we find today ungodly counsel? Yes. Social media. Potentially. It's a hodgepodge. There could be some good counsel there, but there also could be a lot of bad, right? Social media, yes. Ah, man, it's huge. Unsafe family. People we love, but man, their advice is horrible, right? Right? Okay, who else? Friends. Yeah, and friend, like I said, it may be good and it may not be, but you better know the difference, right? Okay. So blessed is the man that walketh not. What does walketh mean? You took the advice. That's right. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of God. So that means you didn't take the advice. You didn't follow the path of the advice of bad counsel. Make sense? Blessed. You'll be blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What does that mean? Standing in the way. A way is a pathway. Standing in the way. That doesn't mean I'm blocking them. I'm standing in the way with them. Standing in the way with sinners. You're being what? You're a part of that group. Birds of a feather flock together. You've heard that expression before. Okay, that's standing in the way of sinners. That's, you are a part of a group of people that do not have a good reputation. You are part of a group of people that are known for something that's not good. Does that make sense? You're standing in the way with them. You're known with them. You're numbered with them. Okay, Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth, where? In the seat of the scornful. What's a scorner do?
He criticizes.
He mocks. What? He's a complainer. What else? He slanders. Right? A scorner slanders. A scorner seeks to hurt others, to harm others, to defame others. Bible says don't sit in that seat. You'd be better keeping your mouth shut than to become a scorner. Because a scorner becomes an attitude where everybody I see, I find something wrong with them. I'm critical, right? It becomes a mindset. Man, I don't want to be that person. Amen? I just don't want to be that person. You say, but I'm just telling the truth. Well, you're supposed to speak the truth in love. Amen. There's a way to speak the truth without actually damaging people. If they damage themselves, let them damage themselves. But don't you be the one that throws them under that bus. Amen. All right. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. What's delight? Yeah. When I was growing up, I lived in downtown Akron, Ohio, and there was this ice cream place, actually a real old Dairy Queen is what it was. And they had a peanut buster something delight, peanut butter something delight. Anyway, all I know is, man, it was good. And when I went there, that's what I wanted to get. Man, it was a delight to eat. I look forward to it. Okay, that's how the Word of God should be to us. It's a delight. It's not like, oh, man, I got to read my Bible today and check off the box. Nope, sorry, this does not apply to you. The Word of God is to become a delight to you. I can't wait to get in it. All right? And so, back to Psalm 1. Blessed, we're memorizing too, by the way, if you noticed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, which is the Bible. And in his law doth he meditate. How often? Day and night. Same thing as Joshua 1:8. Meditate day and night. Oh, that's our part. Did you see all that? All of that was our part. By the way, if you don't do your part, God won't do his. Say that again. In this promise, if you don't do your part, God won't do his. But if you'll do your part, God will do his. But his is in the law of the Lord, right? My delight is there. What's the promise? Verse number 3. Go ahead and read that again, Nancy. And he shall be.
And in his law doth he meditate.
Is that verse 3?
Where are we at?
Oh, let me get that right. And let's see. It is verse number 3. Psalm 1:3.
Psalm 1:3.
Did you close your Bible?
I'm to the next verse.
Oh, we're not even going to get there. Do you have it? Go ahead.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
What a picture. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted where?
By the rivers of water.
Okay. The rivers of water. Water is likened unto the Word of God. It's life. It's life-giving. The majority of our bodies are water. Without water, we die. If you've ever seen like a really dry summer, and you have a river that's actually a decent river, not a little creek or something, but a decent river, it's actually got water in it, the vegetation and trees around that river, even though there's a drought, they're doing just fine. Can I say we live in a very dry time? We live in a day where there's a lot of spiritual depravity, a lot of dearth out there, a lot of desert. The Bible says you and I don't have to live there, that we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, because we are. We're planted by the rivers of water, the Word of God, that bringeth forth his fruit. Oh, a fruitful Christian life. Give me a fruit of a Christian's life. Give me the fruit of the Spirit, even. Yeah, love. Joy. You can have joy, even though it's going bad. I can have joy. I can have patience. What else do you say? Peace, yeah. You can have peace. You can have peace today. You can actually enjoy life. You can live life and have it more abundantly. Say, not my life. Well, follow this passage. You tell me if it doesn't change for you. Yes. That's right. Part of the fruit of the Christian is soul winning. Absolutely. Christians begetting Christians. That's right. This is good. So, and this is a promise. If I do my part, what was my part? I'm not going to, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be. He guaranteed, God has said it, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. What happens in the fall with the trees? They wither. They lose their leaves. They wither. They dry up. This passage says that ain't going to be that way for you. In other words, you're not going to go through the same seasons that others are going through if you'll just do this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever, by whatsoever mean? Anything. No matter what. Every whatsoever you doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Do you want to be prosperous in everything? I want to be prosperous when I'm brushing my teeth, amen. I want to be prosperous when I'm tying my shoes. I want to be prosperous when I'm driving down the road. I want to be prosperous when I'm reading the Bible. I want to be prosperous when I'm talking to someone about Jesus. I want to be prosperous no matter what I'm doing. When I'm at the dentist, amen, I want to be prosperous. I want to be prosperous in everything. Well, then all I got to do is follow this passage. And by the way, this promise isn't just for me, it's for you too. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Beautiful, wonderful passages that we're studying today in reference to meditation. Help us, God, to delight after the law of God, that it might just be a tremendous blessing every time that we even consider the Word of God, which should be day and night. Help us with this. Transform lives because of this time and this Sunday school hour, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.